bust on over to fanexchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. A great experience. Tickets purchased on Fan Exchange are always guaranteed. There's no getting to the gate and then worrying about getting in. Fan Exchange gets you closer to the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at fanexchange.com. Use the promo code ROME. Again, promo code ROME and get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange, we have tickets.
New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Final hour of the program, flown by. Great to be here. Honor, thrill, very cool to be filling in for Jim, a guy who is been gracious and instrumental in the very fortunate career that I've had. As always, we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Not here alone, live in New York City. Guys are with me. Stuart Kovacs, the executive producer of the show, did not wear his leather coat that he often wears because he's, you know, TV time. A little dressed up today. Also on Twitter at Stuart Kovacs CBS. And Tom DeCelestino, DeCel CBS on Twitter, who is not part of the show I do at night at 6 Eastern, Rider Than You, but we have a segment to honor him called What to Sell. And so it's great to, Tom's awesome, Stu's awesome. They're doing a hell of a job today as we try to give you a great show with Jim out. And that will continue certainly in 15 or 20 minutes when the man behind the story you've heard a lot about the last few hours since it broke, Brett McMurphy, joins me here on the Jim Rome Show and gives you every detail and his perspective and his reporting on his allegation that Urban Meyer is a liar and that Urban Meyer lied about his supposed lack of knowledge about domestic violence accusations against former assistant coach Zach Smith. Brett sat down with Zach Smith's ex-wife. He has photos. He has text messages. And he will clue all of us in on exactly what's going on and what he believes it means for the Ohio State head coach, again, about 15 minutes from now. Phone lines, of course, are open here on the show. Numbers different than when Jim's in. It's 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. You can also hit me up on Twitter at SportsWriter, because everything in my world is a pun on my name, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. I have the show here on CBS Sports Radio at night, Ryder Than You, and on CBS Sports HQ at 4 o'clock Eastern, including today and tomorrow. Tomorrow we have Drew Brees, Ryder's Block. Promise we'll just lock up the puns right there. Want to hit two interesting NBA stories before we get to Brett McMurphy here on the Jim Rome Show. Two luminaries of the game, one who's in the Hall of Fame, one who will be, made bold statements in the last 24 hours that I think are worth diving into. One statement, very smart, and one petulant and off base. The smart statement from Adam Silver, the commissioner, best commissioner in sports. The off base one from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who I actually like and know, don't know well, but have reported and spent time around, been around him actually more than I have Adam Silver. But you don't have to be around Adam Silver as a reporter day in, day out, to recognize the forward-thinking nature of his stewardship of the NBA. That goes all the way back to his decision, aggressively and quickly, to boot Donald Sterling from the league. And look, right move, right moralistic move, absolutely. It also bought Adam Silver a ton of goodwill with the players, allowing the NBA to avoid some ugliness as they negotiated a new contract between the players and the owners, and allowing Adam Silver to push his agenda with the support of guys like LeBron James and Chris Paul. Both those guys were vocal about the Sterling situation. Chris Paul obviously was there. And those two guys are the most powerful people in the league because they were the president and vice president of the Players Association. Adam Silver has been playing chess while other commissioners have been playing checkers. And in some cases, and I'm referring to the NFL and Major League Baseball, they weren't playing checkers very well. And that continued this week. Supreme Court, Jim talked about this when it happened. You know it. Supreme Court has ruled that sport gambling in this country is not restricted by the federal government any longer. Whatever state you're sitting in, whatever state you're listening in, they have the decision, they have the freedom to choose whether or not to go full Vegas and allow single-game gambling. I'm a fan of this. I like sports betting. It will be nice to be able to not have to fly to Vegas and put money down. It's also a billion-dollar opportunity for the various sports leagues, but the muscle memory and the habits and the culture of recoiling from any mention of gambling is deeply ingrained in every player, in every league official, in every coach, in every analyst that works for these leagues across all the major sports. Every time that I ask an athlete or someone employed by the NFL or even the NBA or Major League Baseball or a coach or a GM about a Vegas odd, even though I say, oh, this, you know, this guy's favored for this, people get nervous. They recoil. They're freaked out. That's the past. That's 50 years ago. That's 20 years ago. Maybe that was 10 weeks ago. It ain't tomorrow. It ain't today. Adam Silver gets it. And the willingness to quickly, because it's going to happen everywhere, to get ahead of this, for the NBA to allow its logo, which, trust me, it guards very jealously, and its namesake and its branding rights, its brand, to be mixed up with a casino, with a conglomerate that is a gambling conglomerate, MGM, is a big, big move. And Adam Silver talked about that exact decision.
MGM has a very unique position with the NBA and the WNBA. Of course, the MGM, and through Jim Murren as their CEO, is the owner of the Las Vegas Aces, our WNBA team in Las Vegas. And in addition, MGM is our partner in the Las Vegas Summer League. Jim and I had an opportunity to spend a fair amount of time together in July when I was in Las Vegas for the Summer League, and we said, let's take advantage of this opportunity to do something historic, and that is to enter into the first commercial partnership between a gaming establishment and the NBA.
3 years, $25 million, but the real benefit is that the NBA now has a partner, a lobbyist, if you will, in that world, a heavyweight who's going to help them navigate these probably rough waters, but if you can navigate them, you're going to make a lot more money. NBA is a business, just like the NFL, just like Major League Baseball. And we don't have all the details. We don't know, and this is the critical thing. The NBA wants a quote-unquote integrity fee. And if you talk to gamblers and you talk to people, odds makers, bookmakers in Vegas, they bristle at this. But the NBA's argument, fair or not, legitimate or not, greedy or otherwise, is we, the NBA, are going to have to do a lot more policing and compliance to make sure the integrity of the game is not damaged by legalized gambling. Give us a bunch of money. That's basically what they want. 0.2% to 1%, which you fellow gamblers know is actually sort of significant because that will get passed on to you and I, all of us pretending that we win year in, year out, when we tell our wives how the Vegas trip went. Baby, it went great. I want a whole bunch of money. I promise. And if it's in there, it's a game changer. Either way, very smart. And just a reminder, you're going to, and maybe 5 years, 10 years, maybe 5 months, NBA maybe 5 months, you're going to eventually be able to walk in to any arena, any stadium, any ballpark in America, in the states where it's allowed, and place a bet. And there will be complications and there will be problems. But the NBA and various other sports leagues who follow their lead are going to make it work or deal with the consequences, because there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that are available to them for participating. The NFL is the 800-pound gorilla. It's a force of nature. It's the biggest sport in this country. Times change, things change, and if you're number three, you want to be number two. If you're number two, you want to be number one. I have said this a lot, and I believe it. The NBA is on the rise. It is really relevant with young people. In a culture where me, 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 everybody's got their own individual little brand or big brand, Instagram, Facebook. I think D-Cell's working on his own special, you know, whatever it may be. People relate to individual stars and individual brands. We have the Kardashians, right? So if you have a sport where it's easier to recognize LeBron James, Chris Paul, James Harden, the list goes on, than it is some football players because they're wearing helmets, or some baseball players, that means you're on the rise. And the fact that Adam Silver gets that and gets these other tentacles and how to grow the sport, I think it's very, very significant. So good for Adam Silver. Now we're going to turn our attention to Kareem. I like Kareem. Kareem's amazing. I'm going to read you part of this quote. This is because the greatest of all time question is an interesting one. And I always bristle. I get frustrated when people, athletes, we don't. Why do we have to judge them? What do you mean judge is the best? You literally shaped your entire life on the idea of competition, on being better than every person in your way, every team in your way. And Jordan versus LeBron is going to be a real thing. We don't have to engage in it today, but LeBron James, if he stays healthy, and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and all these other athletes who are pushing the goalposts of time back, give us a lot of reason to think he'll be healthy for a long time. If LeBron averages 22 points per game for five seasons, well below what he's doing now, he'll be the all-time leading scorer, and he'll be top five in assists. It's a legitimate conversation. And I did once ask Kareem on my show at night here, 6 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio, who the best of all time was, and he's got mad, which is fine. He got mad again when he talked about it. Quote, these GOAT discussions are fun distractions while sitting around waiting for the pizza to be served. Just real quick pause. I respect that it's pizza. I do. I wasn't as much of a pizza guy until I moved to New York. Now I get it. All right, I continue. Quote, but they're on par with which superpower would you want most, flight or invisibility? Whether I'm included or not in anyone's list doesn't matter. Played my hardest and I helped my teammates. It's the most important thing I walked away with. I got to finish this quote. It's long, but there's a Highlander reference. It's amazing. Goes on. The reason there is no such thing as the GOAT is because every player plays under unique circumstances. We play different positions under different rules with different teammates and different coaches. Every player has to adapt to their circumstances and find a way to excel. This isn't Highlander. There can be more than one. McLeod! Yes, it is. It is Highlander. I mean, there's different circumstances for every single team that competes for a championship. But next year, when the Warriors win it again, it's not going to be like, oh, the Kings are pretty good. It was different. So yeah, it's different circumstances. It's sports. Life ain't fair. It's a meritocracy meets luck meets too bad. And I say this respectfully to Kareem because I think he's a great guy. I think he's misunderstood. He is really interesting. He's really smart. But, dude, a lot of people back in the day thought you're the greatest of all time. You can make a case for you, but it ain't you. The problem with LeBron's rise isn't that it threatens Jordan, though it does. It's that it drowns out those people in the minority who would argue viciously and vehemently, oh, it's Magic. Oh, it's Kareem. Oh, it's Kobe. Those of you that said Kobe should just stop. Seriously, like you should stop. I get the competitiveness. I get it. But you played a sport for a living. You made your living, your money, trying to put a ball in a basket. I'm not judging. I make my living talking about it. So it's cool. But competition defines everything about Kareem's world, at least as we talk about it and know it here on Jim Rome Show and elsewhere in sports media. Of course there's a GOAT. Of course it's a conversation. Of course it's relevant. Sports are about who's better than who, than the other guy, the other team, the other era, the other competition. And Kareem's not the best of all time. Neither is Magic Johnson, neither is Larry Bird, neither is Shaquille O'Neal, neither is Kobe Bryant, neither is Will Chamberlain. And you know what? Neither is, Tim Duncan, can't forget, one of the greats. And none of those guys are going to like it or maybe accept it. Shaq said the same thing to me a month ago when I talked to him. We're all great. Yeah, you are. Only one of you is Jordan. And only one of you, LeBron, has a chance to pass him. Come on, Kareem, you're better than that. All right, let's do this. Time to get edgy. Urban Meyer, I'm sure you're listening to the show, is about to get a firsthand account, and so are you, of what exactly Brett McMurphy, who broke the story alleging Urban lied about his knowledge of domestic violence allegations against his assistant coach, exactly what Brett McMurphy knows, what he has, and what the man who broke the story thinks it means. Brett's going to join me on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Rutter. What's up? In just a moment here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Bill Ryder back with you here, filling in for Jim Rome on the Jim Rome Show, CBS Sports Radio. We've been talking, all of sports media has been talking, for the last couple hours about the story Brett McMurphy broke this afternoon on allegations that Urban Meyer is a liar and lied about his knowledge of domestic violence accusations against a former assistant coach at Ohio State. And Brett, who's joining Stadium August 13th, one of several talented people heading over to Stadium, graciously making some time right now on the Jim Rome Show. Brett, congrats on the scoop, and thank you for hopping on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's start here for people who haven't followed the story. You just broke it a few hours ago. What is it exactly that you have learned through the course of your reporting about Urban Meyer?
Well, last week, or I guess it was early last week, at Big Ten Media Days, I reported that Zach Smith had been arrested back in 2009 when he was an assistant at Florida, graduate assistant at Florida, for aggravated assault of a pregnant victim, and that was his wife, Courtney. They had been married. It was actually on their one-year anniversary of the assault. She was 10 weeks pregnant. Meyer then had Hiram DeFries, who's his personal life skills coach, talk to Courtney and basically convince her to drop the charges. DeFries has been part of Meyer's staffs at different places over the past 20 years. So ultimately, she didn't press the charges. She didn't want to have to raise a child without her husband being employed and not able to get work anymore. So I reported that Monday. That had never been reported before, even though it was a public document. I guess maybe the Florida media, he was a grad assistant. It never came to their attention. Whatever. So I reported that. I also reported that a civil protection order against Zach Smith was filed the previous Friday, which is basically means he has not have any contact with his ex-wife for 5 years, can't get within 500 feet. That had not been reported. It was also a public document. I report that Monday morning. An hour after I report that, Ohio State says that these were personnel issues. We're not going to discuss it publicly. And that was it. At 5 p.m. Monday night, I reported the 2015 domestic violence incident that was not a public document. I obtained it. I reported it. It got out. 50 minutes later, Urban Meyer fired Zach Smith. Tuesday at Big Ten Media Days, Urban Meyer was asked about the 2015 incident, and he said, I had no knowledge of it. He even said, why would someone create a story like that? Literally an hour after Ohio State's media availability ended in Chicago, the Powell, Ohio Police Department then released the documents that I had obtained that showed that Zach Smith was investigated for not only one, but two domestic violence incidents in October and November of 2015. So I continued to do my reporting. I was able to contact Courtney Smith, and I said, I want to tell your side of the story. And basically, I said, I'll believe what you're going to tell me until you give me a reason not to believe you. But more importantly, I need documents. I need evidence. I don't want this to I don't want you to tell me something happened. I want you to I want you to be able to show me for the people that aren't going to believe your story. You have to prove to them. She then provided hundreds of text messages, dozens of photos of the abuse, other evidence. And so basically that's where we are today. I wrote the story based on what evidence I found through her. I talked to her former attorney. I talked to Zach Smith's attorney. You know, I want to reiterate that everything on my report is source. There's no unnamed sources. There's no.
It's out there, right? You've got photos, text messages,
direct quotes. There's no innuendo or anything.
Brett McMurphy, what according to your reporting, what did Urban Meyer know? All of it? He knew that his former assistant, now former assistant, had allegedly beat his wife?
Based on the evidence I have and what Urban Meyer said, then we would be led to believe that everybody in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, all of the assistant coaches, all the staff members, all the secretaries, even Zach Smith's attorney who represented Ohio State's football players in the 2011 tattoo gate. All of these individuals knew about Zach Smith's domestic violence issues except for Urban Meyer. Based on what Urban Meyer said, that's what we're supposed to believe. We're all supposed to believe every assistant coach wife knew that Courtney was being abused. Some of Meyer's staff members have been with him 15, 20 years. So those wives are not going to share that information with their husbands. I find that hard to believe.
So Brett McMurphy, your reporting, you're saying, bears out that Urban Meyer knew about allegedly a consistent pattern of abuse by Zach Smith, his assistant coach, and rather than fire him during that time, Urban Meyer protected him.
He looked the other way. I mean, however you want to phrase it. I mean, again, I don't know that specifically for his reason because Urban said he wasn't aware of it. I tried to ask Urban, you know, when I reported Monday about the Florida incident at Big Ten Media Days, and then I reported the 2015 incident. You said that was a false report. So if that's the case, why would you fire him? And he said, that ship has sailed. I'll talk about this year's team. So I don't know why he did it. I think one reason is because Zach Smith is the grandson of Earl Bruce. And Urban has said many times, he said it Tuesday in Chicago, that Earl Bruce is the most important male figure in his life next to his father. And Earl Bruce passed away in, in April. But you've got a guy, Zach Smith, who's 34 years old. He's been on Urban Meyer staffs at Florida and Ohio State for nearly one-third of his life. And so you're going to believe that he doesn't know what was going on.
Brett McMurphy here on the Jim Rome Show with me, Bill Rutter, filling in. Brett, I want to give you a chance to respond to something Brady Quinn said about 40 minutes ago. We asked about the Urban Meyer story, and he said that you are a great reporter, but that it was well known in Florida that you and Urban did not get along. And since Brady introduced that to a national audience, I want to give you the opportunity to address your relationship with Urban and how it did or did not or does not affect your reporting.
That's 100% inaccurate. I live in Tampa, Florida. I really didn't cover the University of Florida. I wasn't the University of Florida beat writer. I worked at the Tampa Tribune. I covered USF for a time. I had no issues with Urban Meyer. I don't know where in the world he got that from. I had no issues with Urban. The only reason I reported this is because this is where the reporting led me. I have no vendetta against Urban Meyer or Ohio State. If I would have found out this information about my alma mater, Oklahoma State, I would have reported the same information. So that's 1,000% false. I don't know why he would say that, but it's comical to tell you the truth. I never have covered the University of Florida on a day-to-day basis, so I don't know why he would have that statement.
Brett McMurphy here on the show. His reporting with photos, with text messages, you can find it. You can read it for yourself. It's an excellent, excellent work of journalism on his Facebook page, facebook.com/TheBrettMcMurphy. Brett, these stories obviously play out in different ways depending on a lot of factors and how organizations, in this case universities, decide to respond. But from your experience as a longtime reporter doing this kind of work among college and around college athletics, how likely do you think it is that this could cost Urban Meyer his job?
Well, I think it could, not necessarily because he lied about 2015, although, again, this is the school that fired Jim Tressel for lying up to the NCAA, so maybe that would be enough. But also, you look at the Title IX potential issues here. Also, the fact that Shelly Meyer is a registered nurse, and she's actually an employee of the Ohio State University College of Nursing. So she basically has ethical issues here for not reporting this to her supervisor and or not telling Urban Meyer about this as an employee of Ohio State. So maybe that's potentially what could lead to Urban's downfall. I mean, if Shelly wasn't affiliated with the school, I don't know if that would change things. I know, you know, if anyone knows Urban Meyer, we know how close Shelly and Urban are. And he talked about that at Big Ten Media Days, that basically he relies on her for everything. He confides in her. He shares things with her. He values her opinion. So he does all of these things like a great husband would do with a wife of 29 years, and yet we're to believe that they never had this conversation.
Brett McMurphy, excellent, excellent reporting. Appreciate you making the time here on the Jim Rome Show. We'll be looking for you at Stadium August 13th. And for those that want to follow Brett's reporting and the documents, the text messages, the photos that he has attained that perhaps seem to show that Urban Meyer knew about, or at least Urban Meyer's wife knew about, allegations of domestic violence against one of Urban's assistant coaches. You can find that at facebook.com/TheBrettMcMurphy. Brett, thank you so much for making time on what I'm sure is a very busy day.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brett. Bill Rutter here filling in for Jim Rome. If you want to give your perspective on this Urban Meyer developing story, whether you think it should or will cost the Ohio State head coach's job, different number today with Jim out, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. We will take your phone calls and close out the show here on the Jim Rome Show. But first, let's get a CBS Sports Radio update with Rich Ackerman.
Sports Flash.
And Bill, Urban Meyer's history of winning is unquestioned, but he's also had a history of players of questionable character, and that apparently extends to his staff. Meyer recently denied any knowledge of a domestic violence allegation against fired receivers coach Zach Smith in 2015. But as you heard just a couple of moments ago in the Jim Rome Show with Bill Rutter, a Brett McMurphy story revealed that not only was Meyer aware of the incident, but so was his wife as well as other wives of the coaching staff. From the NFL, the Packers have lost linebacker Jake Ryan for the season to a torn ACL. The Patriots have released Jordan Matthews who suffered a significant hamstring injury. Baseball today in the National League, bottom of the eighth. The Nationals have just added a pair and now lead the Mets by a score of 5-2. Anthony Rendon with his 16th home run of the season for the Nationals. Jose Reyes has a pair of solo shots for the Mets. They are being held up by a rain in the Bronx, and that is the only thing that could stop the Orioles right now, who have a 7-1 lead in the bottom half of the third inning. Trey Mancini with a big day, though, as far with his 14th home run, a couple of RBIs. Cleveland and Minnesota are scoreless in the top of the sixth, and right now in the top of the fifth in Detroit, it's the Tigers on top of the Reds 3-0. I'm Rich Ackerman.
This is Tiki.
And I'm Tierney.
The birds are chirping, the sun is shining, and we've got the sports world covered.
3 Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Jim Rome Show here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I'm Bill Rutter, filling in for Jim. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from our guy Mark from Canton, Ohio, who asks, do you think Urban Meyer has coached his last college football game after today's report by Brett McMurphy? It's a good question, Mark. I don't. I will side on this thing with Brady Quinn in terms of how I think this will play out. I think that it will be if there's real jeopardy to Urban Meyer's career, and there could be. These things have a tendency to mushroom quickly if there's more out there, right? One person comes forward with allegations, and if there's more information, there's more detail, if there's more evidence, it usually comes out pretty quickly. And we'll know in a week or so how aggressively this is going to jeopardize perhaps Urban Meyer's career, and how aggressively the university wants to, Ohio State wants to protect the guy. But he's a hell of a coach, and it's a business about coaching. And I think at a minimum, Ohio State's going to slow this down, do an investigation, and if they conclude they got to get rid of Urban Meyer, they're going to try to push that off so they can find a person, find a plan to replace him, because it's go time. It's not June. Appreciate the question. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Really appreciate you listening. Thank you to Jim Rome for letting me do this. Third time that I've filled in on the show. First time I've done it on the simulcast, CBS Sports Network. Absolute rush, absolute thrill. And I've said this before, but I think it bears repeating, because I would not be sitting here doing this. I wouldn't have the show I do at night here at CBS Sports Radio at 6 Eastern. I wouldn't have the television show over at CBS Sports HQ, which is about an hour and a half from now, 4 Eastern during the week, if it wasn't for Jim and over the years how gracious he's been with his support. And it's not just me. You can ask so many writers who have had their careers enhanced as writers or have transitioned like I have into radio and TV. Jim Rome's a big part of it. So very cool not just to be on the show that I look to as the show for radio, the model for success, but also just a guy who made a big difference in my life. Appreciate you very much for listening and bearing with me. And thanks to the guys who worked hard today to give you a good show. Stuart Kovacs, the executive producer of my show at night, writer than you. He's usually writer than me. He's on Twitter at Stuart Kovacs CBS. And Tom G. Celestino, one of the best guys in the business, but not usually writer than most people on NBA takes. Actually, he's pretty good. On Twitter at DCelCBS. Great job on the board. Appreciate him very much. Had some interesting conversations today throughout the show. Yesterday, trade deadline day. And we talked about this the first hour. I think it bears repeating. Good job, Dodgers. Hell of a lineup. I think they separated themselves from my Cubbies. And it's a two-team race. With all respect to the Phillies, who made a nice move. With all respect to the Braves, I mean, Kevin Gausman's fine. Love what the Pirates did. Just love the courage to go out there and spend two big prospects to get Chris Archer, because the Pirates control him for 2.5 more years. And that's not an easy division. Milwaukee has made some impressive moves at the deadline and in the offseason last year. Yelich and Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain, the impressive additions. Cardinals falling back a little bit, but that's a tough division. The Pirates like what they have. They went for it. I respect it. Yankees added some arms, three. Red Sox, not any big moves. Indians added a couple guys, including Brad Hand. But the biggest and most impactful move, when we look back, when Bryce Harper signs his $400 million contract with the Dodgers or maybe the Cubs. Come on, Cubbies. Maybe the Yankees. Is going to be that the Nationals let him walk with nothing, and almost certainly yet again, they did not win a single playoff series with that talented group headlined by Harper and Steven Strasburg, who's not healthy right now. And this year, they might even have the chance to let their fans down by just failing to win a playoff series. They may not make the postseason. Don't let Bryce Harper fool you when he made it sound like everything was puppy dogs and rainbows when he expressed how happy he is to still be a National.
You always wonder, but, you know, I think that's just the business side of the game. It's part of the game, and, you know, other teams are trying to get better, and, you know, it's just, you know, something that came up, and, you know, Rizzo reassured me, you know, earlier yesterday that I wasn't going anywhere, so, you know, I was very happy about that, and, God, I'm still inside this clubhouse.
For now. Drop the ball, Mike Rizzo. Hope you guys prove me wrong. Would love to see him rattle. And I know. They won 25-1 last night. Can we just be honest? There's a lot more about the Mets than it is the Nationals. I get it. There's in a 25-1 baseball game, there's credit and blame certainly to go around. But I am not of the belief that's going to kickstart the Nationals. I just think there's something off. And that's, I guess, part two of what Mike Rizzo, the GM, needs to have the fortitude to do, and that is fire Dave Martinez. And I'm not saying that lightly. My father and my mother, different careers, but both were in charge of people. I've watched them have to let go of people. My wife, Lori, used to work at the Kansas City Star and manage people. Newspapers struggled in recent years. I've watched her have to lay off people. I manage a staff over at CBS Sports HQ, the writer's block show I do at 4 Eastern. I can't even imagine what that's like. I don't say lightly, fire the guy. And people love Dave Martinez. He is beloved in that clubhouse. It is a meritocracy. It is a get-stuff-done business. He hasn't gotten it done. They've underperformed. But Rizzo hasn't had the courage, the leadership, to do the two hard things. Fire his manager, who has failed, and move on from Bryce Harper, because that failure means Bryce Harper is going to leave. And I feel bad for Nationals fans. Had a different GM on, I think a pretty good one, from the NFL side, Tom Telesco, Chargers, L.A. Chargers general manager. And Jason Verrett went down. Every year it feels like there's some Chargers news. Like, oh, the Chargers are pretty good. And then an injury happens. And to be fair to the Chargers, Verrett's really good, but their secondary, their entire defense has the chance to be really special this year. Feels like Phillip Rivers has enough in the tank. Keenan Allen's got to stay healthy. Melvin Gordon's turned into a stud. It's a good football team in a really interesting division. A lot of change going on outside of the Chargers. Chiefs have not a rookie, but a first-time quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, rookie last year. The Raiders can't say the straight face here on the Jim Rome Show. The Raiders gave John Gruden $100 million, sure. Game passed him by his last 3 years in the league, decade or so ago. Let's just see if it all worked out. Here's $100 million, cool. Good luck with that. And the Broncos brought in Case Keenum. We'll see whether or not he can be even a mediocrity that can make perhaps that Broncos team better. And if you're a fan of his game, maybe more than a mediocrity. But to give the Chargers an opportunity, it feels like in an interesting and crowded AFC West, San Diego could finally break through. They finished last year really, really strong. They were 9-7. They had a terrible start. But there's always that concern, right? That lurking fear that they're just going to get snake bit. Full disclosure, may sound stupid, Cubs fan. It was cool winning the World Series 2 years ago. It was not cool spending 38 years of my life believing my team was cursed. I was at the Bartman game. I believe in curses. And the only way the Cubs broke theirs, they played a team just as cursed as they are, the Cleveland Indians. So I did ask Tom Telesco, a GM at the National Football League level, whether he believes in curses.
No, not at all. Not in our seat. You know, we missed some kicks last year. It wasn't because we were cursed. It's probably some not great decisions that I made along the line. But injuries-wise, you know, you always think that your team has it the worst, and I always give myself some perspective. I read through the newspaper clippings across the league every morning. I scan through all the beat writers. There are a lot of teams with a lot of more injuries right now than we have, and there was always that perception how the Chargers are always hurt. And we had a year in 2016 where we were hurt a lot. We missed a lot of games due to injury. By far and away led the league in that. But the year before that and the year after that, we weren't anywhere near the top. We were well below the average. So, there's that perception. You always think you have it worse than everybody else, but you don't. There's injuries across the league, and it happens. But you have to build a deep team. You have to be able to adjust, not only with your talent personnel, but with the coaching part of it. Obviously, losing Hunter Henry this year, we're going to have to adapt a little bit and change. But that's just part of being a good football team.
Thank you to Chargers GM Tom Telesco for making some time here on Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Appreciate him. And I got a chuckle out of the idea of him going through other beat writers' work, reading the injuries of other teams. He didn't say it, but I'll say it for him. I once, when I was growing up in Dubuque, Iowa, worked at Bishop's Buffet for about 6 miserable months. Great food, but the guys there like to turn the lights off in the bathroom and whip you with towels as an initiation. And every now, I had a lot of jobs as a kid when I was growing up. Every time I was working wherever I was working, right? It was like, this job's not great. I would just go back to Bishop's for 30 seconds. That's what Telesco is doing. Like, things are bad, Barrett, that's a bummer, but oh, look at these guys. I feel better about my life. I respect that. I respect taking in the misery of your competitors, Tom Telesco. Good job. He didn't say that, but I just said it for him. Brady Quinn, former NFL quarterback, former Notre Dame quarterback, also joined me on the show. And I spent a lot of time getting into the various quarterbacks who are under a lot of pressure this year. The guys who are really going to feel the heat to perform and to live up to expectations. I think Kirk Cousins is a really, really interesting case study in that. All that guaranteed money. And it'll reveal whether he was encumbered by Washington's incompetence or he was a part of it. A lot of names I could throw at you. But Brady Quinn, when I asked him who he thought was the quarterback with the most pressure in this upcoming NFL season, had a pretty interesting answer.
Joe Flacco is the first one that comes to mind. And that's apparent because they drafted a quarterback in the first round, you know, one that's won a Heisman Trophy, who's got a ton of talent. And I think it's a very drastic contrast compared to what, you know, Joe Flacco does. So it makes you, or at least gives you the sense that if that's going to happen, it's going to be a change, and I don't think they're going to be going back. So because of that, I think, you know, he's the one under the most pressure. His contract would be tough to get out from after this year, but with the disappointing seasons the Baltimore Ravens have experienced the last few years, he's probably the one that's feeling the most pressure to put up and get them back to a Super Bowl, at least back to the playoffs where they can have a better shot at competing for one.
Yeah, it's a good answer. And Brady gave us an interesting couple moments on the show, because when Brady was on about an hour and a half ago, we were planning to have Brett McMurphy on, who we had on the show. Brett, formerly of ESPN, going to stadium, on his Facebook page, broke stories that allege, in effect, that Urban Meyer either knew about or should have known about domestic violence accusations against one of his assistant coaches. And in talking about the McMurphy story, about the Urban Meyer story, Brady Quinn had something interesting to say about the guy breaking it.
Brett McMurphy is doing a good job finding out all the details and everything that's coming, but it is one-sided, right? He's getting most of his information from, it sounds like, Courtney Smith, and he's not really getting anything from Urban Meyer. And I think that has a little bit to do with the fact that those two don't like each other. And I don't know if Brett would ever admit that, but it's kind of well-known a little bit from his time in Florida that Brett McMurphy, and I don't know that Urban got along too well. But all that being said, I think the other point to all this is, does it matter whether or not he had those text messages? I think most people, when they heard that him make the statement that he didn't know, they probably thought to themselves, man, this is a guy who knows everything about his football program, and he didn't know about this incident back in 2015. That seems kind of unlikely. So I think in the first place, people were skeptical with what he said at the press conference as it was.
Not mad at Brady Quinn for bringing up Brett McMurphy's supposed relationship with Urban Meyer. Context matters. I've been a reporter, as a newspaper guy, and a website columnist guy. And the context, it does. Relationships matter. But it's also to say on the Jim Rome Show on national radio, national television, that might be part of the issue is, I think, important to give Brett McMurphy the chance to respond to, and he did pretty vigorously.
That's 100% inaccurate. I live in Tampa, Florida. I really didn't cover the University of Florida. I wasn't the University of Florida beat writer. I worked at the Tampa Tribune. I covered USF for a time. I had no issues with Urban Meyer. I don't know where in the world he got that from. I had no issues with Urban. The only reason I reported this is because this is where the reporting led me. I have no vendetta against Urban Meyer or Ohio State. If I would have found out this information about my alma mater, Oklahoma State, I would have reported the same information. So that's 1,000% false. I don't know why he would say that, but it's comical, to tell you the truth. I never have covered the University of Florida on a day-to-day basis, so I don't know why he would have that statement.
And very quickly here, I know it's a lot to follow, but Brett McMurphy, who broke the story in Urban Meyer, broke down here on the program exactly what his reporting reveals Urban Meyer knew about Zach Smith.
Based on the evidence I have and what Urban Meyer said, then we would be led to believe that everybody in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, all of the assistant coaches, all the staff members, all the secretaries, even Zach Smith's attorney who represented Ohio State's football players in the 2011 Tattoo Gate, all of these individuals knew about Zach Smith's domestic violence issues except for Urban Meyer. Based on what Urban Meyer said, that's what we're supposed to believe. We're all supposed to believe every assistant coach wife knew that Courtney was being abused. Some of Meyer's staff members have been with him 15, 20 years. So those wives are not going to share that information with their husbands. I find that hard to believe.
Thank you to Brett McMurphy and Brady Quinn for making some time. And thanks to the gentleman who helped make this show go. Appreciate Stuart Kovacs. Appreciate D-Cell. Appreciate you hanging out this year on the Jim Rome Show. Awesome to fill in for Jim. I'm on CBS Sports Radio normally, including the next two nights at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. And I've got a streaming television show on CBS Sports HQ, 4 o'clock Eastern, so about an hour from now. And tomorrow we're going to have Drew Brees on the program. So if you're interested in an interview with one of the great QBs of all time, hope you'll check it out. Thank you to Jim Rome and his staff for letting us fill in. Thank you for listening. It's a lot of fun. I mean, kid from Iowa, grew up listening to Jim Rome, modeled what Jim did, what I do after Jim. And I, as I've said, Jim, hugely gracious in his support of my career and other people's careers. This was a cool day. It was a cool moment. So thank you so much for listening. So thank you so much for hanging out. My name is Bill Reiter. I'm on Twitter, Sports Reiter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Have a great night. Thanks for listening to the Jim Rome Show.